It's 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for Friday, April 15th, 2022. I'm Derek Gilbert with our Friday 5, the 5 big stories of the week. Please remember you find all of our new video content at Rumble. Our Rumble channel is online at rumble.com/SkywatchTV. Of course, all of our video content available at the website, skywatchtv.com, or through our free mobile app. More on that before the end of the program. Topic number 5 this week, of course, is Ukraine. A big development on Thursday as Kyiv claimed to have shot Russia's Black Sea flagship with a couple of Neptune missiles, caused it to start sinking. As of this recording, that ship was making its way to the Crimean port in Sevastopol. But naval analysts say the vessel and its crew of 510 sailors were left sitting ducks after sailing around in the Black Sea in predictable patterns within range of Ukrainian missiles. This is the Moskva, the Soviet-era Slava-class guided missile cruiser, reportedly seriously damaged when it was hit by two of these Neptune missiles fired from a Ukrainian battery near Odessa. A Russian Telegram account linked to the Wagner Group, that is the mercenary group similar to Blackwater here in the United States, they claim that Turkish-made Bayraktar drones were used to distract the radar systems on the Moskva before the missile battery opened fire. Now, the big story coming out of Ukraine this week, although you wouldn't know it from the corporate media here in the U.S., is the report by a French journalist, the chief international correspondent of Le Figaro, big daily newspaper in France, who returned from Ukraine and claimed that American officers, American military personnel, are actually running the war on the ground for the Ukrainian side. On top of which, American Special Forces and British SAS troops are on the ground and have been on the ground since the war began on February 23rd, and that Moscow knows this. So what we're seeing is not so much a proxy war taking place, but an actual war taking place in Ukraine between Western forces led by the U.S. and the U.K. and Russia, but both sides pretending that it's still Russia versus Ukraine. At what point does this war get hotter? And when will the American media start asking questions? Because if I can find this out, I'm sure that some of our enterprising young journalists in New York and Washington can find this out and know about this as well. They've just been told not to talk about it. Topic number 4 this week, the economy. A couple of bad reports for the Biden administration. Inflation hitting at record highs, 41-year highs anyway, for the consumer price index. The producer price index up to 11.2%, which is a record since they began tracking wholesale price inflation back in 2010. Again, that's at 11.2%. This is the largest 12-month increase in wholesale prices ever recorded. The Labor Department Tuesday reported the consumer price index. That's what we pay the producers who are paying higher costs for their raw materials, up to 8.5%. Again, this is the largest increase since 1981. But rather than owning this and saying, you know, okay, we've created this problem or we've inherited whatever, we'll deal with it, the Biden administration is sort of adopting the anti-Truman approach. The buck doesn't stop here in the White House. The buck stops in Moscow. It's Putin's fault because he invaded Ukraine. Well, Democrats are warning their leadership in Washington that this message is not going over with the American public. It's time to wake up and smell the coffee. That November's elections, the midterm congressional elections, shaping up to be a disaster for Democrats unless something radically changes. The messaging strategy amid sagging ratings for President Biden at or below 40% in some of the most recent polling, not boding well. Democrats expecting to lose both the House and the Senate come November. Now, as Christians, remember, our salvation does not come at the ballot box. Yes, having a friendly government in power may allow us to operate a little more openly in the faith, but the fact is we can share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, no matter who is sitting in the White House. If the first century church could do it, despite persecution from Rome and the Sanhedrin, we really don't have an excuse for not sharing the gospel. Topic number 3, COVID. A couple of stories this week of interest. Pfizer adding staff. This is known now thanks to some of the documents released under court order by the Food and Drug Administration, the documents that they used to approve the mRNA gene serum for public use. It is now known that Pfizer added hundreds of new employees in the months after its vaccine was authorized in the U.S. due to a large increase of reports in side effects linked to the vaccine. This document was only made public after a group called the Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency sued the FDA because the FDA had originally said it'll take 75 years to go through all of these documents and approve them for release. In other words, we'll tell you on what basis we approved this for public use when you're all dead. Well, a judge sided with the group for transparency, and this particular document showing Pfizer's hiring of new staff to deal with the flood of new cases of adverse effects was originally redacted. They had to go back to court and get a judge to rule that the redactions be removed. Every month, there'll be new documents coming out. It will be very instructive to see what is released. Meanwhile, a new study showed, and this reported on by corporate media, at least in the UK, the Daily Mail is actually a better source of news of what's happening here in the United States than the New York Times, Washington Post, or USA Today. The Daily Mail reporting that New York, California, New Jersey, Illinois, according to a new study, had absolutely the worst performance during the pandemic. And in fact, the states that did the worst during the pandemic in terms of public health and their economies, the states that had the harshest COVID restrictions, and that generally speaking, those were the states led by Democrats, New York, California, New Jersey, Illinois. Their policies, according to this study, showed that their policies caused higher death rates, ruined children's education, and destroyed businesses due to the harsh lockdown measures. 9 of the 10 most states that fared best in this study were led by Republican governors, Maryland being the only one to buck that trend, or rather Maine being the only one to buck that trend, the only Democrat-led state among the 10 best. The states singled out for praise: Florida, Utah, Nebraska, Vermont, Montana, South Dakota. What's interesting about this study and this story getting out is that the narrative is shifting. The narrative is shifting, that corporate media now saying, maybe those lockdowns weren't such a good idea after all. Interesting. We'll watch this to see if this trend continues. By the way, of course, we also learned this week that despite the fact that they had no impact at all, the TSA, the Biden administration, extending the mask mandate for 2 more weeks, this coming at the same time as the administration is ending the Title 42 pandemic restrictions on allowing migrants to cross the southern border. So think about that. Cross the border illegally. You don't need a vaccine. You don't need to wear a mask. Everything's fine. We'll just take you on a bus to where you want to go. But if you're a U.S. citizen who wants to fly inside the country, you better mask up or you're going to be in trouble. Topic number two, speaking of the border crisis, the second bus carrying immigrants from Texas to Washington, D.C. arrived near the U.S. Capitol Thursday. The first group arrived there on Wednesday morning. The state now transporting illegal immigrants who mostly would have been denied entry to the United States or deported if current immigration laws were being enforced, now being transported to Washington, D.C. Now, bear in mind, of course, once they get there, it's likely that Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Muriel Bowser, they're not going to be affected by this. They're just going to put these migrants on other buses and send them to the interior of the U.S. Governor Abbott, please, just turn them around and send them back across the border. Now, interestingly, in the U.K., they are looking at a similar policy. The Johnson administration in the U.K. has announced a scheme that will take migrants crossing the English Channel and fly them to Rwanda, where they will be processed. Their claims for asylum will be processed in Rwanda. The goal of this new policy is to discourage people crossing the channel by showing them that if they get caught, once they get to Dover, for example, they'll wind up farther away from the UK than they started. Of course, there will be legal challenges here, as some claim that this is illegal, inhumane, and cruel. But what do you call it when large numbers of people enter your nation with the intention to settle? Used to be we called that an invasion. Coming up, your last day to save on our next conference, and Elon Musk causing fear and loathing inside the staff at Twitter. That's ahead on the Friday Five. Item number one this week, Elon Musk announces a hostile takeover bid, and hilarity ensues. Billionaire Elon Musk offering $41 billion to buy Twitter, which has people inside the company there just freaking out, needing counseling because they don't know what Musk plans to do. Now, he offered $54.20 a share, which is above the value on the exchanges when he announced his bid. Why 54.20? Why that particular number? Seems like an odd number to just pick out of a hat. It turns out that in cannabis culture, 420 is slang for smoking up, for toking. It has to do with April 20th, I guess. Anyway, all well and good, and we love seeing the progressives inside Twitter anxious about their futures, but remember, this is the same guy, Musk, that is, who's developing the Neuralink brain mesh to connect the human brain directly to the internet, and who says that even though developing an autonomous artificial intelligence is literally summoning the demon, he's still investing in technologies to do that anyway. So let's not be distracted here. I would suggest that Bill Gates buying up American farmland, he is the largest owner of farmland here in the United States. That's far more significant than whether or not Elon Musk actually buys Twitter. Skywatch TV's unveiling. This is the next Defender virtual conference, and today is the last day to save $10 on registration. Our early bird discount expires at midnight tonight. Beginning tomorrow, the 16th, it goes up to $95, but register today. $85 gets you access to more than two dozen cutting-edge presentations. Tom Horn putting together a critical discussion on transhumanism. Speaking of Elon Musk and the neural mesh and artificial intelligence, Tom has long been talking about what he calls GRIN technologies, genetics, robotics, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, and how scientists, engineers, want to use it to transform what it means to be human into something inhuman, which is why our first documentary film at Skywatch TV was called Inhuman. That's just one of the presentations you'll see when the conference goes live on the web next month, May 13th, 12:01 a.m. Central Time here in the U.S. That's UTC minus 5 if you're elsewhere in the world. The presentations will all go live on the internet. You choose what you want to watch in the order you want to watch it. In other words, you set the conference schedule. You'll have 90 days to watch everything. Watch them in any order you like, as often as you like. Find out more and register today to take advantage of the early bird discount at DefenderConference.com. DefenderConference.com. During the month of April, our thank you gift for your support of any amount, if you're in the U.S. or Canada, is book one of the Red Wing Saga, the series of supernatural thrillers by Sharon K. Gilbert. I happen to know the author. She's really good, and this book will get you hooked. There are seven novels in the series. She's working on number eight right now. Actually, number eight and number nine. She got inspired yesterday and wrote a novel in the series set in the present day. Actually, the near future, which if you've been following the series, should be exciting because the rest of this is set in the 1890s. Anyway, for your donation of any amount during the month of April, we'll send you a copy of Blood Lies, book one of the Red Wing Saga. Find out more online and donate at skywatchtv.com/donate or follow the QR code on your screen. Skywatch TV's tour of Turkey, our first ever. We're going in October, October 18th through November 3rd, Sharon and I, alongside best-selling author Doug Hershey, the founder of Ezra Adventures and the author of Israel Rising, a book that documents the changes in Israel pre-1948, Israel's independent state, and today, showing how the blooming of Israel is literally fulfilling Bible prophecy. And we will talk Bible prophecy in Turkey, the locations of the churches of Revelation, Göbekli Tepe, the world's oldest religious center. What is the what is the influence of the pre-flood watchers on that settlement? Abraham's hometown and much, much more. We've got the itinerary posted online so you can check it out and reserve your place on the tour. This will be a small tour, two dozen or less. Check it out at skywatchinturkey.com, skywatchinturkey.com, or scan the QR code on your screen. Then next spring, we're going back to the Holy Land. We look forward to getting back there and seeing the sites that make the Bible come alive. Joshua's Altar, Beth El, Shiloh, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, Nazareth, Masada, and much, much more. And of course, we'll see sites that are just, you might think there's no connection to the Bible, but there really is. Gilgal Rephaim, the Serpent Mound of Bashan, and another site we're trying to get included on the tour called, I'm not going to pronounce it right, Bet Yerah, which means house or temple of the moon god. Because just within the last 10 years, they've discovered a massive monument, stone monument, underwater in the Sea of Galilee. It's half again more stone than at Gilgal Rephaim. It's like almost 2.5 times the amount of stone at Stonehenge, to give you an idea. But it's under 30 feet of water at the south end of the Sea of Galilee. Why is it there? We'll talk about that and much, much more. Skywatch TV's 2023 Israel Tour, skywatchinisrael.com, skywatchinisrael.com. Well, Bible prophecy, the topic for the last few weeks with Bible experts. If you've not seen the programs yet, you really need to go back and check them out. You can find them on the archives. The over-the-air broadcast for Skywatch TV, the schedule is posted at skywatchtv.com/channels. But if you've got the Skywatch TV app for Roku or Apple TV, you can go back and watch the archive programs as well, not just for that show, but for all of our over-the-air content. And of course, all of our video content, like these daily news updates. Go back and check the ones you missed, or download our free mobile app to your smartphone or tablet, and you'll have them right there in your hand, and you can use your phone or tablet to cast the video to your TV. If you've got a relatively recent smart television, almost all of them now are being made compatible with Google's Chromecast and Apple's AirPlay. So if you've got an iPad or a phone, and you've got a relatively recent smartphone or smart TV, rather, you can cast the video directly to your big screen without any cables or cords connecting. It's really convenient, really cool, and it makes it really handy. Because by getting the smartphone or tablet app, the mobile app, you bypass the gatekeepers of big tech and keep them out of our conversations here. The mobile app is free, available for iOS and Android devices and Amazon Kindle Fire tablets. And we got links to the app stores at skywatchtv.com. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. And have a blessed weekend. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is the Friday Five from Skywatch TV.